I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
And do you have any idea how much, like, what kind of percentage of genetically engineered seeds are being used in the state?
Oh, in the state?
Mm-hmm. Or nationally or whatever.
I'm not sure, you know, but I think on the, you know, there's a lot of statistics out there, and I don't want to throw down inaccurate statistics, but I think more than half, I think it's easily more than half of especially the corn, soy, and cotton are genetically engineered. And one thing that I learned that was real interesting is they're not doing genetically engineered cotton for cotton. They're doing it for cotton seed. And they're feeding the cotton seed to cattle. Which I thought was very interesting.
Why are they doing that? Does it grow a lot faster than corn? And
yeah, I and you know, hey, you know, it requires, you know, all of us have to do more research into this matter.
And that's in New Mexico that's...
In New Mexico, they are growing, down south, they are growing genetically engineered cotton.
So would that be for the dairy industry, maybe?
Maybe. You know, but from what I understand, like, the cotton we're wearing is actually coming from overseas, and I'm not sure if that's a genetically engineered cotton or not. You know, and it probably is. But a lot of those commodity crops are genetically engineered. And then, of course, the danger of that is if you're next door to somebody growing genetically engineered corn and you're trying to grow a normal corn, then you have the risk of getting corrupted, getting your corn corrupted by that genetic strain. So, you know, to me, that's unacceptable. Especially here in northern New Mexico. Northern New Mexico, I would consider to be one of the most important agricultural systems in this here northern New Mexico, and I mean North America. You know, northern New Mexico has some of the oldest standing, most adaptable agriculture in North America. And it's a direct line to Mexico that these crops came up. So, you know, with that happening in Mexico where the corn got contaminated, you know, we have some good corn here. At least I think we do. I'm pretty sure. You know, I don't know anybody growing genetically engineered corn around me, you know. But we have to keep an eye on that, because if we lose our ability to save normal seed, then we lose our ability to have normal health, to have normal children, to have a normal environment. You know, and I say normal within the range of natural variation. You know, there's going to be natural variation, but this society seems to think, you know, you define it, you own it, you know, you capitalize on it, and that's how it is. But I think we're about to see some major variation on this planet. And you know, and the future of our survival is in question. Unless we realize that we didn't get to this point alone. We are not just human beings. We are human beings who have had a relationship with the land, had a relationship with seeds. Everywhere we went, our seeds and our animals went with us to help us start anew. And this is the first time that we don't have that. Now we just depend on the plastic. We depend on the dollars. We depend on, you know, what they tell us for information. And so, you know, that puts us in a very dangerous situation as humanity as a whole. You know, and when it comes down to it, we're all equal. No matter, even if you're from outer space, you need water. You need food. So, you know, it behooves us to take care of all this for the long term. You know? I hope that answers the question.
It does. And I want to... Because I may be speaking to a scientist from the New Mexico State University, one of the people that does the genetically engineered stuff, because they play a huge role
in, nice.
In everything. And like the chit, they're looking at chilies now. And,
yeah.
And like I spoke to this woman, and she's from India, and she's saying, you know, I want to end world hunger. Like, that's why she's doing it. So like I see this kind of disconnect. Like she has good intentions, and but maybe it's the corporations that really are perverting it. But could you, and I mean, it may not be that, but could you kind of address that? Like, how, yeah, do you see anything in there to address?
World hunger, you know, we want to address world hunger. Okay. Well, I don't buy that. First of all, I don't buy that. You know, there's probably some well-intentioned people, but again, they're probably towing the line of the corporations. Like, for example, everyone else talks about Africa. Okay? Why, if all these people and corporations are concerned about world hunger, why is Africa exporting all their agricultural products for the United States? Why are we drinking coffee, you know, 3-4 times a day from Africa when they can't feed themselves? You know, until you address that fundamental question of why don't those people have access to their own resources to feed themselves, then we can't do a technological fix. It's the same thing with the bees. You know, are we going to address the fundamental problem that the bees aren't happy, that the bees are being contaminated, that they're being despoiled by electromagnetic waves and all of those things? Or are we going to invent some kind of nanotechnology robot bee pollinator machine? It's the same thing. These questions are not complicated. They're complicated because we've made them complicated. But the fundamental issue is there. Africa has been at the butt end of slavery. Africa has been victimized by slavery, victimized by the slave trade. You know, their resources have been taken over. Their continents have been taken over. You know, there are covert operations all over Africa that are giving militia groups weapons that are being produced by corporations that are based in this country. And you want to address hunger without addressing that? Come on. You know, it's not that complicated. We don't need to genetically engineer all of these crops to address hunger. You need to give people access to their resources and let them feed themselves, right? And then that means people in the United States have to take care of themselves too. We have to either grow our own coffee or make our own atole, right? Or only buy coffee from somebody who's doing fair trade. And that we can go talk to those farmers and say, hey, is this a fair situation for you? Is this your own land? Is this your own coffee? Are you doing this in a way that's appropriate to your culture? Oh, you are? Cool. I'll buy from you. Right? But no, usually it's Folgers or, you know, Maxwell House, who owns thousands and thousands and thousands of acres over there growing all this coffee, you know, slave labor still, cheap labor. And then we have these grandiose ideas of solving world hunger. The people in the United States have to look at their own standard of living and what it's connected to. What do they truly value? Because it's not that complicated. You know, it's complicated if you try and really address the fundamental problems, you know, within the system. Because it's insane. Of course, it doesn't make any sense. It's insanity. Right? But the solution is simple. Let the people have access to their own land. Let them feed themselves. Create a program where desert farmers from Hopi can go over there and say, hey, this is how we do it with no water. Here's some crops. But instead, there's all of these bureaucratic and political institutions in the way. I couldn't even take seeds to Africa. Right? Why? Because they want to control every aspect of the whole thing. You know, I think it's very calculated. They know exactly what they're doing. And people who say, oh, well, we need to solve world hunger. It's like, It's like that vitamin D rice, that beta carotene rice they genetically engineered. So, you know, now they're feeding them genetically engineered rice when those people used to feed themselves. They had nutrient deficiencies because all their land has been taken over for development. Let the people grow their own food in the way. Like now, they're trying to genetically engineer an omega-3 pig. Right? They're putting fish genes in a pig. And they're going to try and market it as some kind of cholesterol-reducing pork. Because it has omega-3s in it. Yo, eat a salad with your pork chop. We don't have to get all grandiose about this situation. If you eat a well-balanced meal with your pork chop, maybe some verdolagas, the weeds out there have more omega-3s than you'll ever get from a genetically engineered pig. Round out your plate. We don't need all these solutions. You know, to me, it's like building a space shuttle to get across town. Walk. You know, we don't need a space shuttle to get across town. But yet, that's what it seems like all these technological fixes are. You know, oh, we need to do this for world hunger. Hey, it's not that complicated. You know, but it is that complicated if you're a bureaucrat, you know, or a CEO or on the board or a stockholder of some corporation. Then it's problematic. Why? Because then you're not going to have any profits off of exploiting other people's lands and labor. It's simple. I think. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about this. But, you know, let's talk about it. Let's dialogue about it. Let's all sit at the table and see what's really going on. Let's bring those Africans and see what's going on. Let's bring the CEOs and see what's going on. Can we get educated on this issue? Can we talk about it? Or are we just going to rely on all this propaganda and all this misinformation so that they can just keep pushing their agenda that's killing us all?